JM in the AM. Thanks for joining us. Ariel Kahana is with us from Israel. He is a journalist, a commentator, a reporter. He is somebody who has his finger on the pulse of what's happening in the state of Israel and beyond. He is with Yisrael Hayom, and this morning he has a few minutes for us here at JM in the AM. Ariel Kahana, shalom, and welcome back to JM in the AM.
Shalom, Nachum. It's good to be with you and with the listeners.
Appreciate that very much. So one of the headlines, of course, around the world and certainly in Israel is that the courts have ruled that everybody in Israel of eligible age is required to draft. It does seem, however, Ariel Kahana, that every time we're told that the courts or the government or a bill or a law, anything that demands or sets into motion, so to speak, this new reality that everyone is going to be drafted within reason, every male, I should say, will be drafted within reason, it always seems to actually never happened. What are the true facts on the ground right now post this court ruling?
Well, Nachum, it's a great point. Unfortunately, by the way, but you are right once again, because if we go to the bottom line, and it's a very complicated issue, of course, but if we go to the bottom line, then probably there will be no, at least in the coming year, there will be no more than 3,000 young Haredim who will go to the army. Actually, we already have about 1,000, so maybe we will have 2,000 more. It seems, as far as I know, that the Haredi leaders are okay with that. They accept it. They get it. It's not finalized. It is not agreed completely yet. But it looks that the direction now. Actually, that's what the Supreme Court has said this morning. It said that on principle, okay, I mean theoretically, and that's my personal position as well, everybody should go to the army or to a Shavut Leumi, a national service, in one way or another, but everybody have to serve, everyone must put their part definitely during this difficult days of war. But there is principle and there is practice, right, and reality, and the army today, the IDF today, is capable to have 60,000 Haredi soldiers.
Right.
It's just impossible,
right,
because you have to have the facilities and rabbis, right, and so on.
Now that we get, but my question is, was this court decision or ruling a suggestion? Was it a direction that was being recommended in terms of a percentage of all communities that at the minimum have to be drafted? Like, well, and I understand that the reality and the practice is hard to describe, but if what you just described would happen, if 3,000 or a certain percentage would go, would that make everybody happy or not?
So it depends if there will be a law. I mean, equivalent to what to the process in the Supreme Court, there is a law which this week its process in the Knesset was just beginning. Maybe it will take a month. It should probably take a month until it will be approved in the Knesset. I'm not sure about the schedule, but at least those are the plans. And if the Knesset will approve the new law, which also talks about 3,000 Haredi soldiers, then you will have the legal basis to go on. And probably in the future, the army will take more, maybe 5,000 and right, so more. And so actually, the way at least I analyze it, it brings us to a positive point in a way that's from the legal aspect by the Supreme Court, but also from the Knesset aspect, from the legal aspect by law, it goes to the same place to have in the beginning 3,000 and then maybe 5,000. But it's agreed. And you have, again, you have it as a law by the Knesset. And you begin a very slow process again, in my opinion, not enough. Everyone has to go to the army.
But
begins the process.
Yeah, I got that. And look, I never served. I don't have children who served, so I have very limited, if any, right to say anything about this. But I do think as an analyst, even if this minimum of 3,000, 5,000, just if it moves in that direction, I think it'll do a lot for the morale of the country, for the unity and the friendship of the country. I think it'll just be, even if one considers it only a gesture, only something very small, I think it'll be something very positive. Do you agree?
It will, but I think not enough. Because even those, look, where's the problem is now? And Nahum, you and I, we are quite a few years in the business, so you remember history. In past years, before, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, the Haredi community didn't want to go to the army, let's say on principle, because they didn't recognize Zionism, because they told you we don't support a secular state. This is not the case anymore. Today, what the Haredi leaders are saying, we don't send our boys to the army because we don't want them to become Chilunim, we don't want them to become secular.
Right.
That means that once you arrange all the facilities and you promise them you will go to the army, but you will stay religious, you will stay Haredi, we'll bring you the rabbis, you will have mikveh and bet knesset and bet midrash during your service. So that makes it possible for the Haredi boys to go. The other side of this course is that those Haredi will not serve like I did, like my boys did. In other words, they will not go to the Tzanchanim, they will not go, probably most of them at least, will not go to a regular service like all other Israelis are doing. And I'm saying all of that to tell you that you ask me if that would make the atmosphere better.
Right.
So it will make the atmosphere better, but it will still not be fair. That's what I want to say. It will still not be fair, even if you go all along the way, like many people hope, and I hope as well. To me, it is beginning of solving this very, very painful problem. But it is definitely not going to be now a perfect solution. Not at all. We are very far from that.
Ariel Kahana is with us from Israel. Before, when we were delayed in getting you on the air this morning, you said to me that you actually were on a telephone call that had something to do with this topic. Anything revolutionary? Anything newsworthy or not?
So first of all, my apologies for being late.
Yeah, no problem.
And secondly, I'll tell you the following. It's first of all, everyone are still learning the legal meanings of the Supreme Court decision today, because it's actually a new phase. Okay, and I'm not a legal expert, so I don't know to give you all the answers. But it brings us to a new phase from legal point of view, which people still analyze. The other point is that actually, at least in the government, many officials expected much tougher decision by the Supreme Court. Actually, they were afraid of a practical order by the Supreme Court to now take all the Haredi, or at least many of them, to the army now. The Supreme Court didn't say that. They said, as we said before, the Supreme Court said, right, you have to, on principle, you have to call all of them, but practically you have to call 3,000, and right, that's a big difference.
Understood. All right, let me ask you a couple of other things. Like I say, you have your finger on the pulse of what's happening in Israel. And again, not a criticism, even though I've criticized the Prime Minister plenty, no criticism regarding the hostage deal, because I really don't know what the reality is. I too, if I was Prime Minister, might be demanding that every hostage be released in some type of ultimate timetable. So again, no criticism. I'm curious why you think there hasn't been any type of further hostage deal until this point.
You ask why there is no deal?
Yeah, why do you think? Why do you think that there's been a delay? Is it because the Prime Minister refuses to make a deal unless every hostage is included, or is it some other reason?
The reason is, Nahum, the reason is that this Satan, which his name in our world is Yehiel Sinwar, when he ordered his Nukba terrorists to kidnap Israelis, to kidnap Jews on the morning of Simchat Torah, he wanted to do that, and that was his plan. He wanted to do that to bring by the hostages Israeli surrender. Okay? That was his plan. He said that. Okay.
Yep.
And therefore we are still in a binary position. Nine months after, we are still in a binary position. It's either Israel surrendered, give up, give back to Hamas the entire Gaza Strip, withdraw the army, and let Hamas rebuild itself, and then get the hostages, which we want very much. And by the way, and give Hamas also hundreds of terrorists as part of the deal.
Right.
That's one option. That's what Hamas wants. And the other side is to say, no, we will not make this foolish deal as we did with Shalit. Although we want our people a lot, no need to say how much we want everyone, but we will not repeat this wrong deal as we did in 2011 by letting Hamas build itself once again, definitely not after what they did in Simchat Torah. Those are the two options. Now, Netanyahu is trying to find a middle way, which is actually bring back some of the people. And that's what he said the day before yesterday in Channel 14. That's why he called it a partial deal, because it means only a first phase of the deal and not going to the next, because again, the next means, the next phases mean surrender of Israel. And Netanyahu refuses to do that. And I support him of refusing to do that. But he is ready for a very tough deal, let Hamas most of the demands, even I would say. To me, even what Netanyahu, I mean, I criticize him from the right. To me, what he agrees to do is going way too far, in my humble opinion. Okay, but in any case, it's Sinwar who is refusing to take what Israel is suggesting. What the American president, what Biden said. Biden said very clearly what Israel is ready to do. And he said Israel is ready. And that's the truth. Israel is still ready to do that. Again, I am personally against it.
Right.
But my government agrees to do that. And again, it's Sinwar who is saying, no, we must be very clear and not get confused by the propaganda. And unfortunately, some of the propaganda comes even from Israeli outlets, from Israeli media. But that's maybe another topic.
It might be the primary topic, frankly. Ariel Kahana is with us from Israel Hayom. Tell us about what's happening up north. How different is the war activity near the Lebanese border compared to, I don't know, a month ago? Because we keep reading, or at least the media alludes to the fact that it's much more serious, the bombardments of rockets, the drones, the activity in general, much more dangerous up there than the last few weeks. How would you describe what's happening there?
So, Nahum, it's in the last, I would say, few days, maybe a week, it looks a little bit better. I mean, of course, the atmosphere is very tense, and the option of going to, if not full wars, and at least partial war in the north is definitely on the table. But it looks that Hezbollah, that Nasrallah, in the last days, he's shooting, but less than what he used to do before. Mm. And I don't know what does it mean, but those are the facts. I mean, again, missiles are coming from Lebanon, but not not in the number as we had before. And by the way, it also happens because of Israeli forces' success to stop some of those drones. There are some secrets around it, but I can tell you that it looks we do have some technological successes regarding that. So if we talk about what's going on today and yesterday, it looks a little bit better. But definitely, if there will be no kind of agreement, I'm sure there will not be a paper, okay?
Right.
But if it won't be understandings, let's call it this way, then we might go to a much larger war against Nasrallah, against Hezbollah, because everybody here agrees from right and left that we cannot let what happened in Gaza repeat in the north, and we cannot let in this case, it's Radwan force, the Hezbollah terrorist, to sit on the border as it used to be before the war. We can't let that happen. That means that Hezbollah will have to withdraw either by agreement or understandings with Israel, or by military operation. Because again, we can't let them go back to the place where everybody agree about it.
Wow. So, I mean, you just painted it as either all out war or are partly a war. So there is an inevitability. I mean, there has to be, in order for Israel to solve, or at least, you know, attempt to solve the problem up north, there has to be some type of stronger military action than they've taken till this point, correct?
Of course.
That's it.
Of course.
So we are, so we've been preparing, or the Israeli people have been preparing for a summer of war. I don't know when that officially starts. I guess officially it has started already, right? If you ask Nasrallah and the Israeli commanders up north, they would tell you this war has already started. The question is how much it's going to escalate and what, God forbid, the price is going to be.
Yes, but whose price? Our or Lebanon price?
Well, unfortunately, you know how these things usually go. Even when Lebanon does pay a price, and even when Hezbollah does pay a price, God forbid, we also pay a price. At least
that's correct. So yeah, I challenged you a little bit. But look, it might go to a much larger war. But I think Nasrallah, he is making his calculations as well. Let me remind you, Nahum, that in 2006, after the Second Lebanon War, Nasrallah said publicly that if he would have known what Israel will do, he would not kidnap that time. That was the reason for the war. He would not kidnap our soldiers.
Right.
And now, on top of that, you should add the pictures are coming from Gaza.
Right.
Because, again, we paid an unbelievable price on Simchat Torah, Nahum, that's very clear. No one denies that.
But that's what always confuses me. If Nasrallah looks at Gaza and says to himself, I don't want this to happen to me, Israel in a couple of days could give him a taste of what that's like and get him to stop, no?
Correct. And maybe that's the reason why he's a little bit more silent in the last days. Again, right. He's shooting.
Right.
But not as in a larger scale as he used to do 2 weeks before. 2 weeks ago.
Are you coming in for Bibi on the 24th of July in Congress or not?
I am planned to be. B'zorat Hashem.
And is it a definite? Do you think there's a possibility that this invitation is going to have to be canceled? I mean, the way you just described it, if God forbid Israel's involved in certain things militarily, it may be possible that he won't be able to make it. But right now it looks like close to 100% that it's on the schedule.
Yes, it looks. I think you are right. I mean, if there will be a war, so he will not come. I guess so. I don't know, but
right.
I guess he will
a
not
good
come.
Good possibility, right?
Yes, but unless we have it, and by the way, my assumption or my guess we will not be there. There will not be a full scale war. That's the way I see it. But in any, other than that, he will be there. It is very important for him to come. My personal opinion, and I know because I'm listening to your conversations with Malcolm, I know that there will be some clashes or backlash when he will come from the Democratic side. So I would prefer him to delay to after the elections in America.
Wow.
But that's my recommendation. But he's not listening, Nahum. So it's not going to happen. He will come. He will probably come on July 24th.
No, I get it. But even if it happened after November, believe me, that he wouldn't be able to do anything right according to the Democrats anyway. Are you still planning on visiting the U.S. in September? Because there could be organizations, synagogues, and groups that want to invite you to speak to them at that time. What's your schedule?
Oh, thank you, Nahum, about that. Yes, I will be Bezrat Hashem in Washington on September 8th, and then I'm available from September 10th for a week. And if you or your listeners would like to have me, it will be a great honor for me.
I would love to come. What's the best contact information? Email or what?
Let's go with the email. I mean, it could be everything, but let's go with the email. The email is arik3000@gmail.com, which is arik3000@gmail.com.
If you want to bring Ariel Kahana to your neck of the woods, your synagogue, your organization, your group in the middle of September, contact him via email, arik3000@gmail.com, arik3000@gmail.com. And he will give you an interesting perspective that I can guarantee on what's happening in Israel and around the world. Ariel Kahana is a commentator, reporter, journalist for Yisrael Hayom. By the way, was there any level of media attention in Israel with the terrorist attack in that Russian enclave? I don't remember the name of it. See how little they spoke about it here? I don't remember the name of it, but I mean, they attacked a synagogue this past weekend.
Of course. First of all, Nahum, once again, thank you for the recommendation.
Certainly.
Yes, definitely. Israeli media covered from close. I mean, as much close as we could what happened in Russia. But at the same time, we covered what happened in L.A. the day before yesterday.
Los Angeles, correct.
Yes. And by the way, I must tell you, Nahum, that that I was very proud from the to see the Jewish guys fighting back and not letting those, I don't know what it was, terrorists or whatever, or Hamas supporters,
Hamas.
Just to hit us. Yes, just they fight back, and I appreciate it a lot.
No, I agree with you, of course. But the meltdown of what's happening in major cities and other areas, for the Jewish communities here is to be noted. I hope when you're here in September, you'll tell some of the groups that they should seriously consider a future somewhere other than New York and Los Angeles.
Well, I would love everyone to come here. You know that very well, including you, by the way, Nacho.
I know it.
and you can. I know you come from time to time, but of course, I mean, everyone would choose where they want to live. But what is to me is important, very important to say as well, that it's not only about us. It's not only about the Jews, because we are always the first. We are the first, and it's not only the future of the Jewish community in America or in Israel or in every other place in the world. In my opinion, and probably not only mine, it's the future of the free world.
Yeah.
The free world is under very serious risks in our day. Israel is maybe the second after Ukraine to be hit.
Yeah.
But I wish American leadership, free world leadership, would understand what is on the stakes here, because it's very serious. And to me, it seems that Biden and his guys do not go all the way to do what has to be done and to understand, maybe before that, even to understand what's really going on here.
Yeah, well, hard not to agree with you. Ariel Kahana, everybody, be in touch with him, arik3000@gmail.com, arik3000@gmail.com. He's with Yisrael Hayom. Toda rabba, thanks so much. And
thank you very much.
Dash Ham to everybody in Aretz. There he is, Ariel Kahana, on a Tuesday morning broadcast here at JM in the AM.